Almost Live from Nigel, it's time for this week's Hard Man Newspapers podcast.
Hello, I'm Andy Dorrimple, and welcome to this week's Hard Man Newspapers podcast, Almost Live from Nigel. This week, Neighbours, Tynwald, and Hop Tune A. To try and give you a taster of this and some of the other news that's been hitting the headlines in our print titles, and of course online at imtoday.co.im, I'm joined by Newshounds, Paul Hardman.
Hello.
Sam Turton.
Hello.
And Distribution's finest, Katie Kitchener.
Hello.
Very cheery today, Katie.
I told you, it's been a very good day for me.
Do you want to elaborate on that? Or?
I comment frequently on a Facebook page called Doggo, which is for your finest dog memes. And today it said a suggestion, you are now a top fan. Would you like to display your top fan badge?
And did you say like, hell yes.
Of course I would, yeah.
Sam, are you a top fan of any Facebook pages?
Yes, thanks to this job, several, which are quite sad.
Okay, is there anyone you want to reveal in public?
Public commissioners.
I'll have my constabulary media page. It's one I'm very proud to have a high ranking role in.
It's Paul?
No, I've not reached that level of life achievement yet.
Well, there's something to work towards, isn't it? Right, it's been another busy week, it seems, Sam. Obviously, Tynwald's been back on, which we're going to talk about in a minute, but our world was rocked a little bit over the weekend, wasn't it? When we had a little DM, a cheeky little DM to our Facebook page from an eagle-eyed Manxman who'd been watching Neighbours, as I'm sure a lot of us do, and had seen that they were throwing all sorts of shade on the Isle of Man, Paul. I'll let you take up the story.
Yes, so the headline in this week's Examiner was about the controversy in the way...
Front page,
the way the Isle of Man was talked about in the Australian cultural institution, that is Neighbours. One of the characters in there was talking about the dodgy things another one had been up to, including his assets, like his account in the Isle of Man.
You heard it here first, podcast listeners, or maybe second if you read the Examiner this week.
Or third if they watched it on the omnibus.
Exactly, yeah. The as he says, the cultural institution that is Neighbours was throwing just horrendous accusations around about the Isle of Man, saying basically this dodgy character had accounts here. Who was involved? Do you remember the character? Because you're not actually an avid fan of Neighbours, which just disgusts me. But one of the characters involved was Jared Rebecky, who was better known as...
Toadfish.
We should say he wasn't the dodgy character. He's a lawyer.
He's an upstanding man.
Man of Erinsborough's, you know, community.
Killed his wife on their wedding day.
He didn't kill... Oh, what? She came back?
No, did she? Didn't she drive off?
There was a brilliant storyline. We weren't going to go down that rabbit hole. But she came back. Wasn't her, it was her evil twin. But anyway, go
what?
Exactly. But yeah, Toadie was talking to his apprentice, wasn't it? And she was the one that then badmouthed the Isle of Man. Mm-hmm. So you spoke to one of the leading civil servants on the Isle of Man about this, didn't you? What was his reaction?
A career diplomat, Peter Boxer, who runs the Isle of Man External Relations Division. We thought it would be a good idea to reach out to him for comment.
Why
and
not?
See if he might want to contact the Australian Embassy and maybe take this up. But he said he hasn't watched Neighbours in 100 years, and he said it looks like the scriptwriter's knowledge of the Isle of Man is as outdated as his of the show.
Well, we were all about getting the Manan sent back to Tasmania, weren't we, Sam? It was that you haven't drank Foster or Forex this week, have you?
I haven't drank Fosters anyway.
Exactly.
I drink English beers like Heineken and Carling.
Yeah.
Carlsberg. Yeah.
Carlsberg's Danish, isn't it?
Heineken's Dutch. So, yeah.
For the record, that is a total advertising scam. I've never seen a single Australian actually drink Fosters.
Next, you'll be saying they're not all called Bruce.
So, I think as to stand, you know, firm, the Mananan should be sent back, the Outback should be shut. I think, you know, what else, if Australia was going
to
make...
That has nothing to do with Neighbours, though, did it? That was just the general advice.
If the Australians are going to be that disparaging about us. So did you contact the makers?
No, unfortunately.
No.
We didn't have a press contact from Margot Robbie or Jason Donovan or any of them. So.
Yeah.
I do feel that Manx students in the UK have probably spent a lot of money at club nights where Carl Kennedy has appeared with his band.
Alan something or other.
Yeah, and what's the band called? It's like Car Seat or something like that.
Did you know
that?
He's not actually a real doctor?
We should because Jason Donovan's due to play here, we should gatecrash him. And we could do that thing. We could do that thing. You know, like how when you see like somebody going into Downing Street, and there was like on the other side of the road.
Yeah.
So we could be like outside the villa, Do you agree with the sentiment of the show? Mr. Donovan, will you resign?
And we should also clarify, Jason Donovan is not actually going to be here till sometime. When is it, Paul?
I think it's November of next year.
Yeah, so it could be a while.
So they've got basically...
Well, I can hold a grudge.
They've got 13 months to respond to this controversy before we have to pick it outside.
Jason Donovan should resign. That's all I've taken from this.
So, yeah, there's all that stories in this week's Examiner, which, of course, is in newsagents now, but also available digitally, Katie, at...
iomtoday.co.im and click on Digital Editions and then click on the photo of the Examiner and then that'll open a new window.
Yeah.
So go into that new window.
I think you mentioned this morning in an off-air meeting, you said that make sure you have your pop-up thing blocker.
Just for a while, let the new window open.
We're not going to spam you.
Yeah.
It's just, unfortunately, part of the process to get you to that digital edition, which is only £1.
It's a bargain.
You're listening to the Isle of Man Newspapers podcast, almost live from Nigel.
Right, moving on, Sam. Tim Wald was back with Backstreet this week, wasn't it? Although it was back last week. No, it was House Keys last week.
Just before, was Kylie Minogue in Neighbours or something?
She was, yes, she was Charlene.
Oh, well, that's half my CD collection going as well. Not standing for this. Anyway, Tim Wald, back for something important. I'm joking, nothing more important than this, of course. If you're outraged as much as I am, email the Australian Embassy, find out their email address.
Sam is on the brink of putting it as an online petition together.
Yeah, do you remember that one in The Simpsons where Bart had to go and apologise? I want Toadie, whatever his name is, to come here.
But he didn't do anything wrong.
But
he was just in the scene. He was an innocent bystander. It's the writers we want to get.
It's him and Carl Kennedy, Reg Grundy, who are the spokespeople for Neighbours.
Right, I want them here.
Right, we'll sort it, yeah. Maybe not though, because they couldn't come here. Because at the moment,
they can come to Britain. We can shout at them for a big.
We just get a Zoom call. Would be
that'll
good.
Do, yeah.
From Britain though, we want to inconvenience them a little.
Yeah, so they're on their time, not on their time frame.
That's good. But I'm not getting up in the middle of the night just to shout at Neighbours writers.
Anyway, Tim Wald.
Yeah, right. Important stuff. So this week we had the State of the Nation.
Yeah,
everything's not bad considering.
Yeah,
so it's Big Chief Howard Quayle's final State of the Nation address. Or not, we don't know. He may stand again. But, of course, his contemporary, see, it's in Guernsey, Ian St. Pierre won the national poll because they had, an island-wide election. And then they booted him out.
So he's still... I take it he's still whatever their equivalent of an NHK is.
Yeah, I think they're called, they're called not a senator, it's something else.
Right.
But anyway, a deputy, I think they call him down there. He's still a deputy, but they've thrown him out from chief minister.
His government have...
Well, they do the same thing we do, you see, where the members then pick the leader out of them.
Yeah.
And he was not voted. He hasn't even been voted onto any committee. He's gone from running the show to being a backbencher.
Wow.
So
I'm sure there's a lot less stress.
I imagine there is, yeah. Mm. I mean, he was tweeting about saying he could put his feet up and watch that new roadkill one with Hugh Laurie. So it's been a bit of a nicer week, I think. But anyway, our chief, Chief Howard, he did a State of the Nation address this week. Where he said about, it has been a difficult year with COVID and everything else, but the island, realistically, compared to a lot of places around us, we're in a far better position. And it's sort of a case of looking forward. And I think there was a couple of big highlights took out of that, which is we are finally going to get a Justice Minister.
Yep, Greg McGee.
He's going to be Justice and Home Affairs, or Home Affairs and Justice. When you actually read the speech, the first time it's Justice and Home Affairs, so it'll be JHA. And then the second time it's Home Affairs and Justice, which would be harsh.
Yeah.
I don't know why they chose their initials, but there we go. So,
yeah.
Graham Cregeen's gone on harsh.
Just briefly, what will that entail?
So essentially that means that the criminal proceeding side of things will be moving more towards Home Affairs. There is concerns about this actually, in terms of what it means for separation of powers, as in terms of the courts and the... and politicians being too close together, but I think there's going to be a committee set up essentially to look at this as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll get us somewhere. But the police and the fire service are also going to be externally reviewed. Of,
it's almost like an inspection.
Yeah, it's like Ofsted coming in.
Yeah.
But then you got the former Home Affairs Minister, who's now the Speaker, June Watson. He came out and said that doing this would be a retrograde step because. Why would you want to introduce British policing into the island? Because, of course, the islands are very different.
Mm-hmm.
You can see it yourself in Chief Constable's report recently. Our police are mainly focused on community policing, drugs and cyber and financial crime, which is a very different set of circumstances to what they're dealing, say, in Liverpool or Manchester. Yeah. So they can see where that would come about. Beyond that, of course, in Timbuktu, there's loads more support schemes. So this is, I think, currently getting debated, actually. They should be moving on to it.
Yeah.
As we speak, they'll be breaking the fourth wall, and Treasury Minister Alfred Cannon be talking about that. So that, but greater than that, essentially, there's money in the bank. The, you know, we are, there's enough in the bank to support businesses moving forward. Include, so that could be through a new, second wave of MIRA, or it could be more aimed at businesses or sectors, which is interesting, of course, because looking forward to next year, the tourism sector is likely going to need bailing out in some form or another. A really surprising one that came up, which I can't imagine this is going to be activated, but there's a piece in The Independent about bonuses for the pram scheme.
Oh yeah, I saw this. So we were talking about this. If this scheme was applied to us, we'd get a bonus every time we got a paper out on time. Because essentially, what Sam will go into more detail about now, they were going to get a big check for signing off on time.
If the prom was finished, it's a bit of a weird one. It's not quite as it sounds. So if the prom, which by the way should have been finished this month, is finished by the 29th.
The whole prom was supposed to be finished this month.
Yes.
And they've just delayed Broadway being finished till December?
Yeah, end of November, yeah. So, but the current basis of the scheme, that should be finished by the end of March. With Broadway being moved back, that's looking doubtful. But if they finish that by some Christmas miracle by the 29th of January, then the contract would be able to claim a £2,500 a day bonus for every day under 9 weeks it is delivered. However, if it's delivered anything over that up until the point of 31st of March, then there is no bonus.
Who will see this bonus?
Like the contractor, Alden. Yeah.
So it's not necessarily going to the people working on it, just the people who've signed on the line.
That depends, you know.
That's in their terms.
However, their result, you know, they could be paying their staff based on a bonus as well, on top of what they're earning. We don't know how they run their business.
How they've been incentivized.
Yeah, so you got that. But then at the same time, there has been a delay on Broadway. So, I don't know, do you really see it?
No.
No.
In the short...
What else do we have? The area plan. God, this felt like days.
And you enjoy a good area plan.
I love a good area plan.
Gets the highlights out and everything.
Yeah. But this went on for, was it 4 and 5 hours?
5 hours it was.
So it was 2.5 hours yesterday afternoon, followed by the evening session. Yeah. And it was a bit like, think of it like a really slow game at the Crucible.
Snooker.
So, like, you know, you're getting through and it's like 8 o'clock and the eyes are starting to go and they go, right, we'll come back tomorrow. And then imagine if half an hour into that morning frame, Ronnie O'Sullivan just went up and went, tell you what, we'll come back next month. And that's what happened to the area plan. So the area
plan. And who's playing the role of Ronnie O'Sullivan?
Ray Harmer.
Right.
Get that into your head. Ray Harmer, Ronnie O'Sullivan.
Yeah.
And
some lovely.
He's taking the black ball off and he'll be back next month.
He's bringing it back next month.
That's the area plan. What else we got? Intensive care beds will be fine. Even if the North West, which at the minute is having bigger problems with COVID, I think I saw a thing saying Liverpool's got more people being treated in hospital now than it did in March and April, which is quite a big...
Yeah, that's a
scary
stat.
The consideration comes in then, what happens to intensive care beds? Because obviously we have a very close link with Merseyside and North West Trusts. What David Ashford has said is that on Ireland, we are able to double our capacity for intensive care. Double our capacity at Nobles by reorganising staff. Alternatively, we have access to the whole of the UK network, so it may be that people, instead of going to Liverpool... Say a gap opens up in a hospital in Norwich or Southampton or Glasgow, they could send people there instead.
Well, we did that story, didn't we, about the lady that went to Cambridge last week for that lung operation.
I think that was for a very specialist kind of procedure. Wasn't just a routine transfer.
Yeah. Well, this is more intensive care and so basically for more specialised stuff than what they typically do here. But, I mean, this year we've only transferred 5 people out.
Right.
Which
is quite low number.
That'd be funny. That's like a good TT if you only transfer 5 out. You know, in terms of rogue crashes. In terms of people competing, and also you see the number of crashes from people who come over and from residents.
That's the
sort of way you're looking at for 2 weeks of the year. We're looking at that over this period so far. I think the final thing from Tim Wood is the Frank advice, which is a very weird one, this. So this is the Chief Minister who's come out and said that if he had to publish the advice that was given to him by senior civil servants, it may not be the most frank and honest advice. What is peculiar about this is that he was talking about medical advice, which seems to suggest that if we were being given the advice he was being given by the Director of Health, she may not be as open about what the ramifications are. So this has then been criticised by the Speaker, and this is all in the Courier. And this is all a bit weird, because it's a very strange debate around parliamentary procedure and council ministers' privilege to see information. But then, of course, for us to have an understanding of what that information was.
So, yeah, so basically, Howard said he wouldn't tell you everything, because then he would fear that his advisers wouldn't tell him everything in case it went pear-shaped further down the line or something.
We don't know why exactly they wouldn't tell him.
Yeah.
That's the sort of thing of this, where it was... And then the Speaker spoke to us away from that, and he's a bit confused about this as well. So I think it may be taken over by events slightly that have happened in Guernsey in the past 48 hours.
Yeah.
But this is sort of an area I was going to look at when we speak to them in the press briefing, but I don't know where we'll be with this now. So it is a bit of an unusual one. I think this will come back, actually, in terms of this, because it's a very strange sentiment that came out of Timbuktu.
Yeah. So as Sam has covered a lot of ground there in a very short space of time.
Oh, I forgot the trains.
Go on, quick.
The trains shouldn't be in the DOI, according to the DOI minister. He wants them in Enterprise, but Enterprise ain't sure. There you go, caught up.
That was lovely. That was a lovely summary of that.
Yeah.
But if you want to read more about this, there's tons about Tim Mulder in this week's papers, in The Independent and in The Courier.
In The Examiner next
And week. In The Examiner on Tuesday. So please do make sure you pop into your local newsagent and pick up a copy of the paper.
And a penguin.
Penguin.
Other biscuits are available.
You're listening to the Isle of Man Newspapers podcast, almost live from Nigel.
This week's sports story involves rugby. Now, we're in a very envious position in the UK, as we've already discussed, and rugby can continue at the moment. But, to caveat that, of course, Vagabonds, Douglas, his first team, and Ramsey's first team, can't go across and play in their respective competitions across. Either can the good ladies of Vagabonds women's rugby team. So, they were left with this position, because there's only one women's rugby team in the Isle of Man. What were they going to do with their season? I'm glad to say it's already started, and they have been assimilated into the men's league over here, which is quite interesting, and I think probably a first.
Yeah.
Now, Katie's looking quite shocked, thinking, oh God, I'm going to lay some of your fears, because they're not playing full contact with the men. They're in the lower tier of the men's competition, and they're playing tag rugby. So they've played two games so far. They played their Vagabonds men's second team, and I think it was something like 76-54 they lost. They played Castletown last weekend, lost 101-53. And then they're playing Emerging Nomads in Port Erin on Saturday. So if you're about, do go and have a look, because I think the tag rugby's a really quite quick version of the contact sport. And they're going to play there. But I think it's great, isn't it? The women getting involved with the men's league, and just so they can get a game. I think they've already played Guernsey, women's team. They came over a few weeks ago back, and I think there's some talk of maybe potentially a return fixture at some point. But yeah, I just think that's such a great thing, and they'll probably be the envy of the women's
rugby. Do you know if a similar thing is happening with the Guernsey team? Are they getting to play?
I don't know, because
they're male.
I presume so, but Guernsey actually has a lot less rugby clubs than the Isle of Man. So yeah. Guernsey has one big main rugby club, the Guernsey Rangers, who Douglas played back end of the summer, and they play in a high standard in England.
Yeah.
And then they have a sort of second team stroke junior team who play locally, but they don't have as many clubs as we do in the Isle of Man, so the competition might not be there, or as varied a competition, as I'd say.
So really, the Manx women's rugby team is going to be miles ahead of the competition.
Vagabonds are going to have... They'll have been able to keep playing until the
borders
reopen, then they can go and play across in the off-island league like they do normally. But I just thought that was a lovely little news story. And as I say, the season's been a couple of weeks old, but the women are playing every week now.
Bear Grylls meme.
What's that? Is that on the Doggo page?
No, you know the one which is like, adapt. That one.
Adapt.
Adapt, overcome, think.
Yeah.
Oh, what does he say?
That's a... Sorry. You know what I mean?
No.
I know what you mean, but I can't think of what it's called.
Sending
it's that whole thing, you know, like it was like adapt, overcome.
I'm not no.
That's what they're doing. They're the Bear Grylls meme.
They're Bear Grylls-ing the
Adapt. You know the one, Paul.
I think meant the Shia LaBeouf meme there, where he's doing the just do it thing.
Just do it. Well, that's a sentiment. to leave that segment on.
You're listening to the Isle of Man Newspapers podcast, almost live from Nigel.
Right, time for This Week in History, Sam, and we delve back to Friday, October 29th, 1948, and the Alaban Examiner of that day. It is a very, 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 I'm going to use three verys, busy front page. There's lots of stories on it. The story count is through the roof, as they say.
Absolutely. I mean, not quite with the patriotism that we carry in the papers these days, because they've used a picture of Big Ben to remember the clocks going back.
Oh, yes.
Whereas we used the Jubilee clock from Victoria Street. But anyway, I think there's a big headline, of course, on one side, which is the Manx invasion of Blackpool. But the story I found most interesting was the Reverend Harry Lamb getting divorced.
Yes.
Which is the reasons why.
Okay.
It turns out this Harry Lamb's quite a character in the island that I wasn't really aware of until I was talking about him with the Oracle, Mr. Watson.
And what does he say? Oh, yeah, I know Harry.
Basically, everyone knew Harry. But he was a vicar who was sent to prison for bigamy.
Oh. And was he divorced before or after the bigamy?
After.
Of course.
What I like is that originally it took an affidavit from his second wife for the court to accept adultery.
Oh.
The dean took the time said that he couldn't accept he couldn't accept bigamy as proof of adultery.
It also names the person he was adultering with as well. No holes punched on the front page.
But they used to include divorces and things.
I think we've covered it before, haven't we, on the front pages. But yeah. That's quite an interesting story. So that was in the top right. You say the Manx invasion of Blackpool. Go on, and you've teased us with this, Sam. What is it?
Should I do the voice? I'll do the voice. As first announced in the Examiner on September the 3rd, hundreds of Manx musicians will invade Blackpool this weekend in preparation for the music festival, in which Manx competitors will appear in 42 of the 80 classes. And this was the leading choirs and singers.
Have you seen... So this is why there's so many words on the front page. They've listed every Manx person going... So what was it, 42 of them? And what classes they're in? That's quite impressive.
I'm just trying to have a quick scan through to see if there's any names I recognise.
See, there's 10,000 competitors for that Black Festival in Blackpool.
Yeah, six of Blackpool's largest... Wow, so this is 10,000 entered, 36 Manx singers are to compete in solo classes, in which is 400 seeking to win the coveted of Rose Bowl.
Wow.
But what I like is that six of Blackpool's largest theatres and halls are going to be used. So suppose, right, so what's that? That's like the equivalent of, we always convert things into new money being football.
Yeah.
So if we say this is the equivalent of every Premier League ground in London hosting a game over a weekend,
if we boost it up,
sort of thing, that's the capacity we're talking here.
Including the Winter Gardens, isn't that where Strictly have their away day every year?
When they go to the Blackpool.
Is that where the ballroom is it?
Yeah, I presume so, yeah. So any other stories catch your eye this week?
Well, there's the... what have we got here? There's one I didn't quite understand that the government regulation circumvented, which was the coach and horse goes through.
Right.
So it's a method of circumventing local government regulations designed to prevent speculation and racketeering in house property. but what they were doing was, it was sort of... the Examiner uncovered it, essentially. This is what's pretty cool about this. Is that so to stop people building, right? So to prevent people building houses which they do not require for their own occupation, and then taking advantage of the acute housing situation to sell at inflated prices to make a handsome profit. So these regulations come into force to stop people doing this. It's essentially, it's like rent to buy, I suppose, in a sense, or build to buy, or build to sell. Basically, it's a way of inflating the housing market. And people found a way around it, and the Examiner went, well, this is what they're doing, this is technically illegal.
So it was an undercover investigation? Well, probably not undercover, but some sort of investigation.
If it had a roof, it would be undercover, wouldn't it?
Yeah. There was a 3-injured car accident, collided with wall. Three members of the Ramsey section of the Peveril Motorcycle Club were returning to Ramsey after the club dinner in Douglas on Wednesday night, when their car they were travelling in collided with a wall at Glen Mona. They were Kenneth Corkle of Bloor Road, Ramsey, Colin Broughton of Bircham Avenue, and Harry Perry of Marsden Terrace. They were taken to the Ramsey Cottage Hospital, who were treated on the scene in the car and treated for cuts and abrasion. There we go. But then there was also, did you see the airport sort of bosses were on a jolly round to England, Holland, Bigwigs,
I like that.
England, Ireland, and Holland to see how other airports work.
Could you imagine today just being like, we're just going to head over to Barbados, see how their airport's doing?
You say that, but when Big Chief Howard Quayle was health minister, he went to New Zealand for recce to see how their health systems run, which, to be fair, is actually part of where Manx Care came from.
What adverts got your eyes this week, Katie?
Head High Confidence.
This
is Head High Confidence from Lions, the fashion centre. But it says, when you choose an ensemble at Lions, the fashion centre, you can walk head high with confidence in any company. And then it goes through, the coats, suits, jumper suits, frocks, gowns, scarves are all picked individually in London for their style. Not from anywhere, they're from London.
Must be posh from London. Houghton Tell Sefton in the top left, as always.
Yeah, makes me happy.
And then the advert about R.E. Cowell & Co., genuine linseed oil putty. Now, do we know what that's for?
Nope.
No.
Special to the trade?
No, in fact.
Samples on request.
Yeah. Mr. Watson did tell me, and I can't remember what it was.
Is it. What does the company do?
It's.
R.E. Cowell & Co.
Again, not particularly descriptive. It's a special terms of bulk delivery, so we can get a lot of this putty that we don't know what it does.
It's cheaper than mainland manufacturers, though.
Yeah. I feel like this is something, again, Mrs. Kitchener is just going to make fun of us for not knowing what it is.
Possibly.
Oh, I haven't mentioned Mrs. Kitchener yet. Hello.
We'll have to ask Jeeves about that at a later date. And finally, as always, it's that time of year, winter coat season, isn't it? So fur, fabric, and cloth coats, model millinery from R.C. Keynes.
Although, much like this week, of course, British summertime does end on Sunday. So put the clocks back.
Don't forget.
You're listening to the Isle of Man Newspapers podcast, almost live from Nigel.
Right, yes, training, Katie, and we continue our Hop Tune A month. We've had some lovely stuff. The Begain last week, we found out he was a roofer's best friend, didn't we?
Yeah.
Oh, should I point out, anyone who was worrying about my bins, I did get it done on, I remembered on Tuesday, I sent the group photo. It was a sort of selfie with a bin, but it didn't work. I wanted to just show you the other bins as well.
It looked like you were running, like fleeing the scene.
I thought it looked more like you'd been caught on camera. It was, I said, nicking from the bins around the back of ShopRite.
Yeah.
Which you corrected to Co-op, because you wouldn't be at ShopRite, you'd be at Co-op.
Well, Co-op's closer.
Plays
the best music, that's what
it does play the best music, Co-op, to be fair. But yeah, so don't worry about the bins this week. But yes, so the game was last week, and then the week before we did the...
What do you do?
So what are we doing this week?
Well, we're just doing a couple of Halloween Hop Tune A facts, basically.
Wash your mouth out with your Americanisms.
I know.
Sacrilege and
sorry.
Stuff.
Just because I'm off work next week...
So am I, actually. So there will be no podcast. That's your advance warning.
It's just been me in this room talking to you, dear listener.
Poor Paul sat there.
Can it stop now? Shut up, Paul. It's only 4 hours in. Your plan took longer than this. They didn't even finish it.
So, yes.
Because this is... We have to take time off work because we're being made by the powers above. But this is... I very rarely ever had holidays on the Isle of Man. Mm-hmm. I've always...
Gone
further afield.
Hence your nickname as the Judith Chalmers.
I thought for the next week I will obviously use the Isle of Man as, you know, the base, see what's happening. Mm. So earlier on today I was on the Visit Isle of Man page looking for some inspiration for my Hop Tune A week off. Mm. And I came across, they have a page of facts.
About Hop Tune A?
Yeah, and I found it very interesting.
Hit me with your fact.
So, yeah, we're not focusing on a place or a grave or... person this week. It's just general Hop Tune-ness. Yeah. So, to begin with, it's the oldest continuously celebrated Manx tradition.
Woo! Yep. I like that. I've also, before we go any further, I found when I'm listening back and editing these, I say wow a lot, and I found that I sound like that Owen Wilson. Is it Owen?
Wow.
Yeah. So I need to stop doing that. But anyway, next fact.
So back in the day, it was a time when you would actually gather to celebrate the safe gathering of the harvest and the coming of the Celtic New Year. Hop Tune A actually derives from a Manx phrase I cannot say.
Oh.
Because I was hoping Mike Wade would be in and I could walk over and ask him to read it for me. So
Sam's going to have a crack with his extensive knowledge of the Manx language.
Oh dear.
A man that didn't moved from the east of the island 2 or 3 years ago.
Chardonnay.
I love that. I hope that's right.
Okay.
Is this not on like...
Chardonnay. Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Could our friends at Culture Vanna not do this for us?
It's probably somewhere in the depths of the internet. I was really just relying on Mike Wade being
in. Just in case we can get it in. Here's how it's actually said.
But that means this is the night in Manx Gaelic.
Oh.
So.
Wasn't that a Mirage Shyamalan film?
M. Night Shyamalan.
Yeah. Wasn't that a film, This Is the Night, with Joaquin Phoenix?
Oh, it was a film with Joaquin. No, it was not called This Is the Night. It was
We Are the Night.
Something like that.
Again, another thing.
Anyway.
This is Max nice. Butchery.
It marks the start of the Celtic New Year. Right, some old school customs, which continue to this day. One, setting fire to gorse bushes to ward off bad fairies. No. I don't know anyone who does that today.
I don't think we should be like encouraging people to set fire to the gorse bush.
So we carve a turnip instead of a pumpkin,
mm-hmm.
or a moot.
Moot.
Why? Because it's just... It's cooler. It's harder to do, and it doesn't smell as nice with a candle in, so why wouldn't we do that?
I was reading the most excellent fire service column in tomorrow's, this week's Courier, this week, and they were, I would say, strongly against the use of candles in any form of moot or pumpkin.
Any vegetable good.
Yeah, because they said, you just don't know what's going to happen. So they recommended false tea lights.
Like those little...
Battery-operated
yes.
tea lights.
Yeah. Okay, one I'm sure we all did as kids was the going round to people's houses and singing to them. And you get money in return, or when I was little, you'd get sweets or money. It's different from the Mollig Band, because then you're not really going to rob the people or burgle them.
It's not some sort of house invasion.
No, so traditionally we'd sing and you'd be given money, or sometimes bonnag. And then, apparently another popular thing to be given, which is what all kids want, was some herring and potatoes.
Herring and potato?
To be fair, that was the national dish before
chips, cheese and gravy.
Yeah, fair point.
Is that what you want when you're out with your mates? Like, oh, here's your herring.
Well, it's basically just cotton chips, isn't it? Yeah.
What Sam wants then.
I don't eat fish, to be honest.
Do you?
No, I can't stand it.
Oh.
I don't know why. I used to like fish, then I just went off.
All fish? River fish, sea fish,
don't
all fish?
I don't like any of it.
Friendly fish?
No.
Fish finger?
No.
Do you like a fish finger?
No, what's wrong with you? I don't know. I just sort of went off them.
I could see you as a man that would like a fish finger sandwich.
Nah.
Do you like mushy peas?
Sometimes. Do you know what? I'd have them from the chippy, but I wouldn't have them like
that. Do you not like them in a can? Oh, I like them cold out of a can.
No, the silence, not just from me there.
I don't like anything cold from a can. It really disturbs
me. Beans from a cold beans
no,
from a can.
No cold things from cans.
Becky, let him use the microwave.
We've got one of them, so he does a convection and all that. I keep thinking things are going to blow up when I put it in there. So
I've never had a microwave, so I don't understand that witchcraft.
What? Never had a microwave?
I had to buy a special bowl to put my soup in, the one at work, because I don't understand how it works. I'm too scared to ask people at this point.
You've never had a microwave?
No.
I've got one going spare if you want it.
You got two microwaves?
No, I've got one from uni that's been sat in the garage for a few years.
Should I be using that? If I'm already scared about blowing things up, should I use one that's been sat in a garage for years?
How do you heat things that you don't want to put on the hob?
Put them on the hob or put them in the oven.
This is mind-blowing stuff. Wow. Was there a reason why you were averse to having one?
Just never really had one, ever. And then when there has been a microwave around, I've just got so used to never using one, I don't need one. I would like to make microwave popcorn. Because sometimes Grace brings that into work and the kitchen smells nice.
Wow. This podcast really is full of revelations. Where are we up to with Hops, you know?
Okay, so we've got two final traditions.
Oh, yeah.
Quite similar. One's called, I want to say, Sodig Valu, which is actually, it means dumb cake, which would be cooked and eaten by young girls. And then if you went to bed backwards, which I'm guessing is like, you know when you get into bed, you look forward and get in? So I'm guessing it's just turn around, sit down and swing into it.
You don't come up from the bottom.
No. But if you go to bed backwards...
Change, adapt, overcome.
After eating dumb cake, you'd be visited in a dream by your future husband.
What's dumb cake?
I don't know.
There's so many questions this
week.
Do
you want me to find the recipe?
Yes, and we can share it on our socials.
We'll get Sam to eat some, get into bed backwards.
find his future husband.
Survive, adapt, overcome.
That's it.
It's only taken us 36 minutes to work that one out.
And another future husband tradition is one, I think...
Why do you do on Hop Tune, eh?
Spooky night.
Did you play Meghan Trainor through Alexa?
No.
Nobody else keep up with the charts?
Sometimes forget you're a teenage girl trapped in a mid-20s man's body. Yeah.
Trapped in a 57-year-old man's body.
Sam to find his future husband is you fill your mouth with water, hold a pinch of salt in each hand and listen at your neighbour's door, and the first name you hear will be your husband.
Or the first police officer to turn up.
Marry me.
I brought condiments.
Be there for hours.
Why are they not home?
Why are they not home?
No way.
This is what is this tradition called?
It's just another future husband tradition.
Do you ever get the feeling that a lot of Manx traditions are a little bit like just on the wrong side of
legal?
Yeah. Doing outside the house? Well, I just saw some salt and water and I thought, we'll find out when my next husband is. Oh, wow. Well, that's certainly
definitely made before double glazing and things.
Do you have to do this on the... Can you already do this on the 31st?
Yes.
So, next Saturday, if we see Sam outside someone's house... That's amazing.
I'd love to hear if we've got any listeners who did find their future husbands in this way.
Yeah, please do let us know at IOM News Podcast and, of course, Instagram and Twitter. We're very keen. And if you plan to do this next Saturday, please take along a friend to film what happens. Just so we've got evidence for the court case. Well, that, again, was a fascinating insight to some of the island's lost traditions, Katie. Yep. I appreciate that.
But hopefully very much brought back.
Yeah, you have brought them back. The following week, will we be recording before Bonfire Night?
No.
So we can maybe do some... is there any sort of Manx link to the Bonfire Night tradition and see what we can get from
it. Okay, I just like reading about Bonfire Night anyway, so that's nice.
Yeah, but the gorse is essentially a bonfire if you're lighting it, isn't it?
Yeah.
So there you go. Right, that's about it for this week. Sam, what's coming up? There's tons in the Examiner, there's tons. Always.
I mean, you can see that front page from the Examiner.
The one from 1948.
Like Inception.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah.
It's like Inception.
Never seen it. and then I'm too busy trying to eat dumb cake and... I haven't got time to sit watching Netflix, Katie. I'm at the next door neighbour's house full of water and some salt in my hands.
Maureen is back again.
Maureen, it's going to be Maureen.
It's that boy from the papers.
Throw salt at me. He brought his own.
I saw him trying to get into his bed backwards last week. I knew something was wrong at that point. I didn't think he'd turn up on the doorstep.
What else was he up to? Well, he was carrying around a battery-powered candle around the gorse bushes the other night, and he's going, "Boo, fairies, boo away!" So anyway,
you're
in the Examiner. Oh, besides my impending court case...
There's more Tim Wood stuff,
isn't
there?
There's more Tim Wood stuff. There's actually other people's pending court cases, or indeed past court cases.
I do have a lamp story. There's lots of... So, did you hear this week about... to mark year of the... It's Year of the Nurse.
Yeah.
And Midwife.
And to mark Florence Nightingale's 200th birthday, 90 of the island's nurses took a walk through to visit all the former sites of hospitals in Douglas.
That sounds right.
But with lamps. So there's some lovely picture on the Courier this weekend. There's going to be loads more pictures in the Examiner.
I heard you talking about this the other day. I haven't seen pictures yet, so I look forward to seeing that.
And there's also the usual fun of the fair, including, you've already mentioned This Week in History, there will be the crossword, in case any of you crossword fans out there.
Do you know how many responses we get to the crossword?
No.
We get a lot, Sam. You get a lot.
Okay, thanks for that. Thanks for that ballpark figure. A lot.
Well, I don't know what you expect, 6,000 or 10? Like, what are you thinking the figure is going to be?
Give me 6,000.
That'd be a lot. That'd be like literally everyone...
That we don't have post boxes big enough here for 6,000 to come back.
Cripple poor Kurt bringing those entries upstairs.
It's actually Karen who does it now, and she will not tolerate that.
6,000.
Okay, so I don't know how many do you get.
It's like, a lot. It's 50? A lot, Sam. It's a really pleasant.
It's a lot.
Okay.
To be fair, the one week I did,
but you've got to be in it to win it.
Yeah,
you do. Wasn't it? And there's prize up for grabs.
Exactly. If you can actually solve the crossword and complete it accurately,
And send it in.
Then send it in.
And you might get a prize.
15 quid, boom.
15 quid.
Bang. I feel like I'm being advertised that.
I feel like you should be engaging with it more.
Have a go at the crossword.
I tried once.
You would be able to do it.
Oh, is he not? Yeah.
No, I tried doing it once. I'm not very good at that.
I'm not good at crosswords.
I'm good at, like, I don't know what it is about. I just can't get off the ground with it. Whereas, like, it's just weird because normally I'm good at cryptic crosswords. I just can't get this one. It never makes any sense.
If that tickles your fancy for puzzles, there's a full puzzle page in India every week, I should point out at that point, with Sudoku.
Yes, keeps the brain sharp.
And all sorts of things like that. I feel like we've... the wheels have come off a little bit at the end of
these
this podcast.
These are very rarely plugged, but they're solid, good features. I like the TV guide on Thursday.
You do? You get a full week's worth.
Yeah, I like to know what's coming up over the weekend.
If you can't be bothered scrolling, just stare in front of you.
Set my VCR to record.
And they pick out programmes you might like.
Yeah, top picks and things,
Sam's looking at us like we've lost our mind. It's all in there, mate. The paper has so much content.
Right, okay, cool. Don't forget to buy the paper. Bye for now.
Bye for now.